So last time we finished speaking about what is the purpose of life, what are we doing in this world. We said pretty much at the end of the day we came to have a relationship with God. So then what did we say? Mitzvot are a way of dating God. You get to know God, right? You get to fall in love in God. With God everything is great. You enjoy from the world to come. You remember everything? You're my only hope. Okay? The only one. Great. So now moving on. So if God is so good and he has Torah, and like Torah is the ultimate way of connecting and developing a relationship with God, etc., why only Jewish people? You ever ask this question, right? One says, oh, the Jewish people are chosen. So now let me ask you a question before that, right? Who was the first human being that ever existed?
Adam.
What was Adam's religion?
No religion.
Imagine no religion. No religion. Okay. Why didn't he have a religion? Because most people would say religions didn't exist yet. Okay, that makes sense. But if the whole world is created for us Jewish people, the chosen people, couldn't Adam be called like Adam the Jew? You know, because that's a creme brulee, right? You don't need to have a religion. You could just be called Adam the Jew. Yes or no? Yes. Next question, right? Next question. If Adam wouldn't have sinned, okay? If he wouldn't have eaten from the tree of Eden, right? Would he have entered straight the world to come? Yes or no? Yes. Yes? Would any religion have existed?
No.
No, there wouldn't have been Christians, no Jews, no Muslims, no Hindus, no nothing.
Hashem would be a
meta. Why? And this is very important. I want you to hear this. This is very important. When you're good to everyone. If Torah is the ultimate purpose of life, because this is how I achieve pleasure, this is how I achieve happiness, God is not just going to leave it for the Jewish people. He really gave it to everyone. But most people didn't want it. Why? We'll talk about this later, right? But we're chosen because we chose. This is why we're the chosen people. Because we said to God, we want it. You understand? But really, everyone had a fair chance. Everyone could have gotten the Torah. So now, the question is, right? Here's how it goes. God says, I created you in order to have pleasure. I created you in order to have happiness. And this you could achieve with Torah, right? But now, what happens? God says, there's one condition for the world. In order for the world to exist, you need to have Torah. Why do you need to have Torah? Because if there's no Torah, the world cannot exist because no one will achieve the purpose of happiness and the purpose of pleasure. Now, I'm not going to be politically correct. It is not like you could achieve it, but it will not be the ultimate. You can't achieve it. You know, one time I was walking, going on a date with my husband. You ever notice men refuse to ask for directions? Okay, it was very fun. This is why GPS always sounds like woman. It's trying to teach you shalom bayit. You know what the GPS does when you make a mistake? It doesn't yell, you're stupid. It says, recalculating. Honey, you never make a mistake. You're just recalculating. This is not what I said. The point is, we were driving to Gan Yehoshua. It's a very cute park in Tel Aviv. And we're driving. And like, for me, a waste of time, it's like, I die. You know, like, I don't waste time. Suddenly, I started looking around, you know. Because I wasn't like mesmerized by our conversation. I started looking around, I'm like, Yeshaya, I think we went around this circle like a few times now. She's like, no, I don't think we did. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we did. Like, pretty sure. We go around, we go back, we go ask the same one. So by now, I feel like my blood boiling. I'm like, you're going to stop and you're going to ask for the direction. What happened? We got to Gan Yehoshua. I was mad. Had a headache. It was not a very happy moment, right? God wants you to get to your destination. But he says, in order to get there, I'm giving you a map. It's called Torah, right? We said that when someone gives you a gift, what makes them the happiest is that you're happy with the gift that they're giving you. God gave you a gift called life, and he told us, in order to get to the maximum use of this gift, you have to use Torah. And therefore, the condition, this is very important what I'm going to say right now, the condition for the world is Torah. If there's no Torah, there can be no world. Why not? Because not only might you not get to your destination, which if I wouldn't be politically correct, I would just say, you will not get to your destination. But what else is going to happen? You're going to fight in the middle of the way. You're going to get a headache. It's not going to be fun. You understand? There is a beautiful book that is out there. Everyone should read it. This is my favorite book. If you're a beginning, you should read this. It's called Choose Life. You ever heard about this book? No, it's by a famous rabbi called Ezriel Tower. At the beginning of the book, spoilers alert. What can I say? Okay. He goes like this. Imagine, right, someone like a poor man, homeless man, all of his clothing is teared up. He looks really bad. Imagine he comes to you with an envelope and he says, in this envelope, there is a check for $1,000,000. And he throws it into a garbage. Would you go into a garbage and check out that envelope? Yes or no? If you're saying no, you're a liar. For sure you will check it out. Why? Number one, if you sue Bruce Almighty, sometimes God dresses up as a homeless man, right? Number two, you never want to wonder what if. You understand? Like, what if there was $1 million? If there was not, I'm just going to go shower. But what if there was $1 million? Then he says, God comes to you with an envelope and it says, the key to happiness. And not God throws it into a garbage, you throw it into a garbage. You know how much people tell me, I just don't feel it. I don't think it is for me. They come to one class and they go like, I don't feel it. Imagine you're dating a guy and on the first date your mom asks you, how was, and you just say, well, I just don't see ourselves getting married. Okay, if you ever say this, you freak out the guy. He's for sure not gonna wanna marry you. Yes? How many times do you have to date a guy in order to marry him? If you're from three is enough. Okay, I'm joking. But like, really? At least a few, right? Imagine you want your kid to play piano. You put him the first time. How does anyone sound? Even Mozart? Right? What are you going to say? Oh my God, he has no ear for music. You're not going to say this. You have to try it. After you tried it enough times in order to have knowledge about it, then you could say if it is for you or not for you, right? But God comes to you. And again, we said God made you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And tells you, here it is, key to happiness. You take it and you throw it in the garbage. I just don't feel it. This is not for me. Just try. This is what God says. By the way, we see this from the beginning of the world. Right? Again, what is the statement I'm making? The world cannot exist without Torah, because the Torah is the only way we could get to our purpose. God says, if you don't have it, not only will you not get there, but you'll be miserable. And there's nothing that makes me more unhappy than giving you a gift that is going to make you unhappy. That's just painful, right? If you ever open up any Chumash in the Torah, any book of the Torah, you're going to see that in the first book of the Torah, the first word, Bereshit, it's always written like that, like this, okay? Bereshit. Now, what's wrong? What's wrong with this word? Bereshit, the bet is bigger. You know, we don't have caps lock. How do you call it? Capital letters in Hebrew. If you want to learn Spanish, you repeat after me. How do you say capital letters? Mayúscula. Mayúscula. Now you could go marry a Spanish man. Okay. You know when you go to like an English-speaking person is speaking to Spanish people, and then they always want to show how they know Spanish, and they go like this, I know Spanish! And they're like, okay, and you're like, it's so exciting, and then they go, hola! And they're waiting for you to clap at them. Like, you're joking, right? Imagine if I would come to you and be like, I know English! Hello! You'd be like, are you stupid? But no, we have to play English-speaking people's games. You understand? Hola is not enough. ¿Cómo está? Tampoco. Mi casa, tu casa, estúpido. Everyone knows how to say estúpido. That I've noticed. Okay, moving on, right? Why is the bed bigger? So now, the Torah, it's all of the knowledge of God in one little book. And therefore, it has to have ways that knowledge is hidden in there because it has very little amount of letters, right? Knowledge is hidden or hinted in a certain way, and therefore, you could learn everything from there. Now, people that don't know Torah think that the Torah has a lot of grammar mistakes, you know, because nothing makes sense. But people that study Torah understand that every time there's something weird, something that doesn't make sense, it's hinting at you that there's something hidden there, right? Now, the first word of the Torah says Bereshit. Bereshit means in the beginning, yes? But now, a rabbi say, don't read it as Bereshit, in the beginning. Read it as Bereshit. For Reshit, the world was created, okay? One second. For Reshit, the world was created. What is Reshit? Reshit means the first, yes? The firstborn. There's two things in the Torah that are described as being the first. Number one is the Torah. I'm not going to explain this yet. I'll explain this later. The Torah was created 234 generations, whatever that means, before the world was created. I don't really get this because there was no time before the world was created, but whatever this means, that's not for us to ask. The second thing that it's called first is obviously we Jewish people. We're the firstborn. Doesn't God say to Paro, let my people go? You don't let my firstborn go, I'm going to destroy your firstborn, right? Say our rabbis, and I'm going to explain later. Don't read it as in the beginning, but rather for the beginning. What is called the beginning? The Torah and the Jewish people, the world was created. If there's no Torah, no Jewish people that are going to keep the Torah, the whole world gets destroyed in just one instance. Actually, every day in prayer, we say that God recreates the world at every second. Why couldn't just God create the world and sustain it? Why does he have to recreate it? There's an idea in Judaism that if there is only 1 second in the world that there's not one Jewish person studying Torah, the whole world gets destroyed. If there is only 1 second, I'm going to prove this to you in a second, right? Now, this is not so hard now, because some of you live in Montreal, some of you live in Panama, some of you live in Israel, and we have different times schedules, so this works well. But there used to be rabbis that used to fast extra 2 hours on Yom Kippur, because which night of the year no one is studying Torah? You want to eat some sambusak, no? So, like, it's problematic, right? The whole world was created for the Torah and the Jewish people. If there's no Torah, no Jewish people, the whole world cannot exist. Yes?
Why are they studying an extra 2 hours on Yom Kippur?
So that they will make sure if there's only 1 second that someone in the world is not studying Torah, the whole world gets destroyed. I'm going to say this in a few minutes. Let me prove to you where else we learn this from the Torah. If you ever look at the creation of the world, every day God created something and then did a conclusion or an accounting of what he created on that day. So it goes like this. And there was night and there was day, day one. There was night and there was day, day two. There was night and there was day, day three. Now, if you notice in the Hebrew, you should check it out in your Chumash, it says like this. Vayehi erev, vayehi boker, yom echad. There was night and there was day, yom one. Second day, there was night and there was day, yom shani, shlishi, revi, hamishi, hashishi. Okay? Who knows Hebrew? What's wrong here? This is first day, second day, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. What's wrong here? Yom Rishon. First mistake. It's not from my class, but anyways, we learn everything, so we'll say it. In Hebrew, either you say Echad, Shtayim, Shalosh, or you say Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. Like in English, you say first, second, third, or you say one, two, three. You cannot say one, second, third. Yes? So why is it that on the first day it's written one? It's not part of my class, but I'll teach you anyways. Because on the first day there was oneness. There was only God. There was nothing else except for God. On the second day, where you already have creation, then there's duality, and there's something that you could see that it's not God. Yes? So there's duality, second. What else is there another mistake? Check this out. Ha-shishi. Our friend Yehudi said, ha-shishi. In Hebrew, wherever you say ha, it is like you're pointing out specifically at the one. You know, like you like a lot of pizza, but there is the pizza. You get this? The hot guy. You understand? There's only one. There's no one else like him. So the Torah says, why does it say the 6 day? Listen. And it answers, because the whole world, the whole creation, which is being expressed here, it's conditioned on the 6 day. If there's no 6 day, then the world cannot exist. Now you guys tell me, what is the 6 day? So most people would say Shabbat, but there is the. You cannot have the hot guy, but there's 52 over the year. No? You understand? Yeah? Yes? There's one. Which day in the Jewish calendar is very famous as it's on the 6th? Who knows? Famous day? The 6th of Sivan. Which day is this one? 6th of Sivan? Shavuot. What happened on Shavuot? Shavuot, or something like this, right? The giving of the Torah, yes? What happened? God says the whole creation of the world is dependent on us accepting the 6 day. This is why also in Hebrew, ha is what numerical value? What numerical value is ha? 5. Because you have to accept the 5 books of the Torah that are going to be given in the 6 day. This is why, and now I'm going to say something crazy, and it is that you're supposed to ask me questions. And then I'm going to ask you these questions that you will not be able to sleep for the next 3 days. But I like doing that, because then you're dependent on me. And I like having the power. You understand? I got the power. Ooh, ooh. Okay, great. So now, look at this, because I'm going to go deep, right? Now I'm going to go deep. The whole world is dependent on the 6 day. This is why we say, even on Shabbat, Yom HaShishi, right? Because on the 6th of Sivan, where the Torah is given. This is why our rabbis tell us, and listen and ask me questions, that when God gave the Torah, he lifted up the mountain on top of the Jewish people and said, either you take it right now, or you're going to be buried right here. Because the world cannot exist without Torah. Beautiful. Ask me a question. First of all, usually people don't say this. The world existed before, no? When God gave that Torah, he lifted up the mountain and said, either you're going to take it right now or you're going to be buried, because the world cannot exist without Torah. Yes? But how did it exist before the giving of that Torah? Yeah? So that's question. I'm going to put them all together in a second. What else would you ask? An obvious question, because then I'm going to ask them in order. What else would you ask? There's an obvious question, guys. If God lifted up the mountain on top of their heads and said, either you take it right now or you're going to be buried right here, isn't that taking away their choice? Yes? So did you force them to accept the Torah? So now, the easy explanation is, God didn't force them, but rather it's a result. If I have a team that's from 20 to 30, and you're 35, can you join my team? No. If the world cannot exist without Torah, if you don't want it, then there's no world. I'm not forcing you. Either you take it or you don't take it. But by the way, the fact that he's lifting up the head, the mountain, it is pretty much, in a certain way, still forcing them, because it's like, hello, who wants to die this horrible death? Okay? So now, isn't God forcing them to accept the Torah? Yes or no? Sort of. Technically, yes. Really, no. So, next question. Right? What did Daniela said? But if the world cannot exist without Torah, how did it exist until then? There was no Torah. But now the next question would be, really? Was there no Torah? You ever heard that the patriarchs kept the whole entire Torah? I'm going to prove this to you in a few minutes, right? But the Jewish people, when they went out of Egypt, they all circumcised. They all kept the Korban Pesach. I'm going to go into this for 1 second. But first of all, why did God even have to put the mountain on top of our heads? Right? When it's Shavuot, you always learn these famous words. Now, what was the greatness of the Jewish people? That when God offered the Torah, what did they all say in unison? Naaseh v'nishma. You know this? You ever heard these words? Naaseh v'nishma means we will do and we will listen. And everyone says, wow, Jewish people are great. You know? What is the greatness of the Jewish people? Again, that we said naaseh v'nishma. Naaseh v'nishma means we will do, even if we don't understand, we're committing to doing. So first question, or second, or whatever, right? If we already said naaseh v'nishma, yeah? Why do you have to force us to accept the Torah? We wanted it, yes? We said we want it. We said we're willing to have it, even if we don't understand it. So why would God even need to force them to accept the Torah? It doesn't make sense. If I tell you I want to drink my medicine, you don't have to punish me if I don't drink my medicine. I want to drink it, yes? By the way, question. What does naaseh v'nishma literally mean? What does it mean literally? We will do, and then we will listen. Now, next question. What does it imply? Anyone knows? Yes. What?
We'll do a mitzvah and then understand the reason.
It implies that, listen to this, that Jewish people are committing to keeping all of the mitzvot, even when they do not understand them. We're implying that we're committing to, and only then we're going to understand. Yes? And what happens if you don't understand? Are you still committing to? Yes or no? Yes. You committed to. Now say, I'm doing. And then I'm understanding. If I understand, imagine a stranger comes to you. And by the way, Jewish people were always praised for this behavior. Okay? Like, wow, it's so amazing that they said naaseh v'nishma. Imagine a stranger comes to you and says, I have an amazing business proposition for you. In order to be part of it, you need to invest $10,000. Do you say naaseh v'nishma? Do you say that?
No.
No, what do you do?
You say, show me a proposal first if I feel like it's worth
it. That's it? You say much more than that. You ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Wait, 1 second.
You wouldn't
invest in a business without knowing what's in it, but you invested your whole entire life in the Torah without knowing what you're doing? Listen to this, what you're saying. Jewish people are always praised because of this, yes? But it doesn't make sense. We were willing to commit our whole entire lives to a Torah without knowing what was in the Torah. Does that make sense to anyone? Wait, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. One time I was teaching in Panama. I had a student. She went to a... This is why we Panamanian people do not get very far. This is what they teach us in college. Okay, what can I say? But I had a student in Panama. I'm not kidding, not joking. She was told when she went to college that how did all of the Jewish people accept the Torah? They were all high. This is what she was told. You know that song? We accepted the Torah when we were high. You don't know this?
No.
We accepted the Torah when we were high. Because I was high. High. I was like, for real? This is what your teacher told you? Because when you're high, you're obviously looking for 613 rules of limiting and commanding every single area of your life. This is really what you're doing. You know how Jewish people always say that religious people are brainwashed?
Yeah.
Let me explain to you what brainwashed means. And this is very important. Brainwash means when you're manipulated into doing something you do not want to do. I'll say this again. The definition of brainwash means being manipulated into doing something you don't want to do. Zoolander. Okay? In order to be religious, there's no way you could ever be brainwashed. There's so many rules, so many details, so many stuff that unless you're 100% aware of what you're doing, number one, first of all, you're not going to do it. Number two, you're not going to do it well. Like, there's no way you could be brainwashed on religious. No way. Believe me, I would not be dressing in this weather, in this clothing, if I wouldn't think it's the right thing. You know, and whenever you meet a rabbi, they tell you, prove to me that Torah is not true, I'm going to eat a hamburger from McDonald's. Everyone says this. So the question is, you wouldn't commit your $5 you wouldn't give to someone for free. You committed your whole entire life. What kind of answer is Nasa Nishma? That's a stupid answer. Oh, don't worry, God. I will do even if I don't understand. By the way, Jewish people are supposed to be very smart people. We've won so many Nobel Prizes. We're smart. And we were willing to commit our whole entire life. By the way, if there's someone that's curious and asks questions, it's called Jewish. You never heard this? Jewish, one Jew, five opinions. They need to know everything. And we didn't even ask one question when God offered the Torah. By the way, let me take this further. Yes, I'm driving you crazy with questions, but this is what we're doing. Na'aseh v'nishma means I am committing to do even without understanding. Yes? One second. Doesn't that sound like your wish is my command? Doesn't that sound like that? Yo, tell me what you want, that's it, I do it. If I'm committing to doing without understanding, it sounds like I'm a robot. Just tell me what I need to do, I'm going to do it. By the way, right, listen to our next question. If we're supposed to do even without understanding, yes? Why is there a mitzvah in the Torah that you have to study Torah all of your free time? You know that if a man is not studying Torah in his free time, it's called bitul Torah, you cancel that Torah, it's a sin. You're supposed to always be studying Torah. Now my question is, if you're supposed to do even without understanding, why are you obligated to understand? Why are you obligated to learn? Yes, does that make sense to everyone? It should be a choice. If I want to learn, I learn. If I don't want to learn, I don't learn. By the way, if I'm willing to do even without understanding, why do I even have to understand? Do I do without understanding or do I have to understand? You see, this is where it gets complicated. Do I do without understanding or do I have to understand? If I do without understanding, why do I have to understand? If I have to understand, why am I doing without understanding? Life is a mess, okay? What do you want to add?
So, you're saying...
I'm asking questions. I haven't given answers yet.
Okay. So, the Torah was given at Mount Sinai, correct?
Yes.
But you're referring to the Torah being given at Adam.
No, at Mount Sinai.
At Mount Sinai. So, I feel like they...
This is my next question, what you're going to say next. But yeah, go.
I feel like they were questioning. I feel like the golden calf was a question in itself.
The golden calf was after the giving of the Torah.
Exactly. It was a question in itself, though. Like,
yes, but that's a different idea. I'm saying they still committed to keep the Torah. Then they had a question in their own self. I could still commit to anything and then be having troubles while I'm doing it. But I still committed to who? You understand? But that's a question that comes next. But that's always human beings. You know, I say to my mom, I'm going to help her. And then when I see the job, I don't want to help her. You know, but like that's life. Yeah, but that still didn't take away from the fact that I still committed to something I had no idea what it was going to be. That's probably why your mom doesn't tell you what it's going to be, because then you won't help her. Yes?
So I was learning this with my chavrusa, and she told me something really nice. So I asked her, like, why would they just listen? Like, how would they know to listen? Right before is when they saw Hashem split the sea and do all these miracles and all these commandments. So they knew that, like, if someone this powerful had the ability to save them from Egypt and do all of this, then there has to be Hashem.
That is beautiful. Did your parents give you life?
Yes.
Did they feed you until now? Gave you clothing? Do you do everything they say? Horrible child. Okay? The fact that someone does for you, it is true, we're going to use it, but the fact that someone does for you doesn't mean you feel obligated to win for them. You know, I actually have tons of girls that tell me, I didn't ask my parents to bring me into life. Why should I do what they say? Is this like a common thing that people would say? No. Yes. No. What? Don't pretend you're good children. Okay. So now, right, let's go back. Why did God have to verse that Torah? We said Na'aseh v'nishma. What kind of answer is that? Right? Do I do even without understanding? Where is free will? That means your wish is my command. Like, really, do I not have any choice on what I'm doing? Am I supposed to do without understanding? Should I understand? How do I understand everything? By the way, the people didn't used to keep Torah, actually. Now I'm going to tell you some things, and this is going to drive you crazy. Okay? We said that the world cannot exist without Torah. Right? So then, how did it exist before? So now you could say, I don't know, but really, the question is, was there really no Torah? Our rabbis teach us that the patriarchs kept the whole entire Torah, right? I'm going to prove this to you. We know that Abraham was visited by three guests. Yes? He gave them to drink milk and then meat. Why? Not together. Because Jewish people don't eat meat and milk together, right? By the way, that's not the crazy part. That is normal. We know that Abraham kept all of the commandments. He circumcised. Yitzchak circumcised. They kept all of the commandments. But now listen to this part. This is the crazy part. You will not sleep tomorrow, okay? When the three guests come and visit Abraham, they tell him, at this time next year, you're going to have a son. Rashi says, what does it mean at this time? The same day, a year from today, you're going to have a son. Yes? What day in the Jewish calendar was Yitzchak born? Anyone knows? So I'm going to tell you, the 15th of Nisan. Does this date sound familiar to you? It's Pesach. Yes? Yes. Now, you could check this out. You don't have to take my word. What do Jewish people eat on Pesach? Matzot. What did Abraham feed his guest? Matzah.
They couldn't feed them bread.
So now my question is, why do we eat matzah? Why do we eat matzah on the 15th of Nisan?
Because they
didn't have time. Yes? Did Abraham happen before Egypt or after Egypt? Before Egypt. You know how many years before Egypt? 400 to be exact. They were eating matzah on the 15th of Nisan, but Pesach hadn't even happened. Yes or no? Everyone hears this question?
Yeah.
I thought the only reason why we eat matzah, or this is what you thought, right? Is because there was no bread to eat when we left Egypt. But they were eating matzah on the 15th of Nisan before even Egypt existed, right? Let me give you another one. There was a patriarch called Yaakov. He had a fight with the angel of Esav. The Torah says that was on Yom Kippur. The next pasuk, a little bit later, says, and Yaakov built Sukkot for all of his cattle and children and I don't know what else. Sukkot. Do we have a holiday called Sukkot? We build little, like, wood things. I don't know how you call it in English. Bohios, yeah? Why do we celebrate Sukkot? Anyone knows the main reason for Sukkot? Because when we went out of Egypt, God gave us these clouds of glory that would accompany us wherever we would go. In the memory, in the merit of these clouds of glory, we celebrate Sukkot that represents that I don't need nobody, I don't need no roof, I have you, God, right? But Yaakov lived 300 years before we had clouds of glory. So how do you understand this? Everyone hears the issue? Yeah? By the way, you see this in the whole entire Torah. You give me whatever example you want. Not only did they keep the mitzvot, this is what I want to tell you, it's crazy. They kept mitzvot that seemed to be a result of different things that happened in history. You understand this? Yes, but now how? Right? How did they keep it? By the way, you know when was the first Seder of Pesach we ever kept? The night before we went out of Pesach. We already did the Seder of Pesach. They were already sitting and reminding and celebrating what they were doing, but they didn't even go out. They were already eating matzah the night before Pesach. You understand this? Let me give it to you even greater. Okay, now you want to go. We're saying that the patriarchs kept the whole entire commandments. Yes? Yes. Now, one of the patriarchs did something that, according to the Torah, would be very sinful. Yaakov, he was married to two sisters. You remember them? Rachel and Leah? Are you allowed to marry two sisters in the Torah? No. The only case in which a man would be able to marry two sisters is if the two sisters were married to two brothers and one of the brothers dies without children. Then the other brother would have to marry the wife in order to bring children to his brother that died. This is a mitzvah kolibum. We don't do it nowadays. Okay, moving on. But the point is, right? So, how did he marry two sisters? So the Rambam says something amazing. The Rambam says that really the only reason why we keep mitzvot outside of Eretz Israel, it's in order to train for when we are all in Eretz Israel. Mitzvot outside of Eretz Israel have not the same value. It's like training camp. Now, if you've ever been in training camp, it is very important what you do, because obviously, you know, like, you didn't learn there, then at war, you're going to fail, right? So they give you the same thing, but they're not the same value. Like, for example, if you bake challah outside of Israel, and it's Shabbat, and you forgot to take out the little piece, you could still eat it in Shabbat. In Israel, you can't. If you burn your little challah outside of Israel, and it didn't burn completely, and baya. If you burn it in Israel, and it opened up the foil paper, your whole oven is taref. Outside of Israel, what is the one thing you could always eat that's pretty kosher? Fruits and vegetables, yes, if you check them for bugs. What is the one thing that is very complicated to eat in Israel? Now Rebecca's going to cry. Fruits and vegetables. Because there's a million rules for fruits and vegetables in Israel. Because the land has to rest for 3 years, and then you have to give it 10%, and then you have to give it to a Kohen, and like the seventh year you cannot work the land. Because the land of Israel has holiness in itself. There are many mitzvot that are only dependent on the land of Israel. Again, so therefore, what does the Rambam says? All of the mitzvot that you do outside of Israel count. But the reality why they count is because training camp for when you are in Israel and we're able to keep them here. Yes? So if you're here, do a good job, right? So now listen to me, it's amazing. Yaakov is married to two sisters. Can you marry two sisters? No. But wait, doesn't the Torah says that one of the sisters died? When did she die? Says the Torah, when did Rachel die? In Bethlehem, right outside of Israel. Isn't that crazy? Because outside of Israel, for whatever reason, he could marry two sisters. Mitzvot are not the same. But inside of Israel, you can't. Rachel died right outside of Israel. We know this. You could all do her carriage, right? So how do you understand this? So the next question for all your series of questions, which I am driving you nuts, goes like this. We're saying there was no Torah, right? This is why God picked up the mountain and said, you have to take it right now or the world cannot exist. But apparently there was Torah. People kept Torah. You see that all of the patriarchs, matriarchs, everyone kept the whole entire Torah. But now that's not a crazy thing. They not only kept that Torah, they kept that Torah that you're thinking is as a result of different things in history, right? So how could they be keeping that whole entire Torah? Doesn't make sense, right? Everyone get this? Let me take it further, okay? Every year we celebrate a beautiful holiday called Pesach. And Pesach has some of the best songs, I have to say. My favorite song goes like this. If you're Ashkenazi and you don't sing this, you come to my seder, okay? I will invite you. It goes like this. Ilu ilu hotziyano, hotziyano mimitraim da jeinu. Okay? Have you ever heard this song? Yes? You could come to my seder, okay? We'll kick out all the men and we sing. Okay, so the point is, now if you ever read the English version of Dayenu, what does Dayenu means in Hebrew? It means it would have been enough, yes? Now listen very well to what this song is about. This song is talking about all of the kindness and goodness that God ever did to you, and each time it would have been enough, but you did something extra. You know, like he raised up the bar, but it would have been enough. That means that by definition, listen to what I'm saying, the first thing you got was already enough, but you did an extra one, but I could have lived with only the first one. Everyone get this? Like, God, if you would have only taken us out of Egypt, it would have been enough. You didn't need it to open the sea. You needed to bring us to Israel. You didn't need it to... But each time you, like, outdid yourself. Yes, everyone? This makes sense to everyone? Each time you outdid yourself. That means that whatever kindness came after, it wasn't really such a need. The one from before was good enough. Yes, everyone hears? This is the understanding of the song. At one point, you say like this. Quote. Ilu higanu lechar Sinai belo kibalnu et haTorah, dayenu. I have to tell you, this is why I became a teacher. I had this question for such a long time, went to every single person, no one answered me. So I decided I'm going to become a teacher because I need to have an answer for this question. This is what you say every year. Listen to this. If we would have gotten to Mount Sinai and not received the Torah, dayenu, it would have been enough. What? The whole purpose of getting to Mount Sinai is what? To receive the Torah. Not only that, didn't we say the world cannot exist without Torah? Yes. Listen again to what you're saying in the song. If we would have gotten to Mount Sinai and not received the Torah, yes, Dayan, it would have been enough. That means, according to our understanding of the whole song, that whatever it is that happened when God gave us the Torah, listen to this, a similar experience happened just by getting to Mount Sinai. Yes, does this make sense? Because it would have been enough then, right? But God did something extra by giving us that Torah. Everyone hears this? So now, two questions. In what way did we get that Torah? Just by coming to Mount Sinai? And number two, what is the extra that God did by actually giving us that Torah? Yes? What is the extra kindness? Everyone hears this? And number three, what is this old song anyways? Imagine you're a poor person, someone is a poor person, knocks on someone's door and asks for charity. The moment you come and give him money, he runs without the money. Does that make sense? I thought that the world cannot exist without Torah. If I just get to Har Sinai and not receive that Torah, that yenu would have been enough. But that was the whole point of why I got to Mount Sinai to start with. Everyone hear this?
Yes.
Great. Does anyone want to add any more questions? No, I'll answer all of them tomorrow. I mean, when I say all of them, I mean two. And then two more on Thursday. And then on Tuesday.